We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. This is our fourth and final segment of the show, and my personal favorite. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Greg Pickle is here. This is Ask Greg, where Greg is on the spot. These are questions from you guys, Penn State stuff, recruiting stuff, hopefully some others. We'll see. I haven't read through a lot of these yet, Greg, but let's hit them. Bill from Philadelphia. I know it's still a bit early, but we clearly had some talent in PA since the other powerhouses offered at least a few players. My concern is that Penn State overestimated their national brand and neglected their own backyard. Although they are in the mix for some big-time national recruits, they don't seem like the clear favorites for many. If they strike out on the national players, then that leaves us scrambling down the stretch. Do you share the same feeling? That's a good question, a good way to put it.
Yeah, no, that was a really well-versed question. And I think the one thing I would say, though, is it's not all that timely. It's May. You know, the stretch run is not going to happen until December 1st with the new early signing period. So Penn State has time to figure it out. I wouldn't say overestimated their national brand. I just think that we forget sometimes that national guys tend to take a lot longer to decide, especially when they can take their official visits up until the end of June. And then people seem to be forgetting that they can still take official visits in the fall. So not every kid's going to decide before a senior season starts. So, yeah, could that be correct? Could Penn State maybe at the end of the day go the wrong way? Yeah, certainly. But look, everyone seems to have a different opinion on Keith McGuire. That's one guy that you mentioned, the Power 5 schools that offered. Three-star committed to Clemson. Andrew Kristofic is a number 8 player, according to the 247 Sports Composite in Pennsylvania. He's committed to Notre Dame. Hayden Rusi is a tight end from Lititz. He's committed to Wisconsin, a number 2 player in the state. Penn State has an offer to Omar Spates, number 1. Has offered Joey Porter Jr., the number 3, a corner from North Allegheny, and of course, related to the Porter of Steelers fame. So, I don't know if Penn State overestimated its national brand. I just think they know what they're looking for. They don't have the biggest class size expected in the world. And at the end of the day, you have to go with your gut. And Penn State's been pretty good about doing that so far under James Franklin. And I just think that I understand the uneasiness about the way they're going about things. But they've had some pretty high-profile kids on campus so far this year, and there's going to be more coming down the line. So it's not panic time yet, but I do understand why the question was asked and why there's a concern at this point.
I also think that Penn State has this unique situation. Nationally, I don't know how unique it is, but the whole Mid-Atlantic pretty much is Penn State's footprint. So if the strength of their recruiting region is in Maryland or New Jersey or New York or New England, or a little bit more and more, it seems, every year, pushing down into Virginia, Penn State has the ability to put eggs in that basket too. And I think what's happening in the 19 cycle is that the Mid-Atlantic is good. I mean, Virginia's always good. The Maryland, D.C. area is always pretty consistent. New Jersey is pretty consistent. But there seems to be an inordinate number of really good players coming from Rhode Island, Connecticut, the whole New England region, where that's where Penn State's eggs are. And I get the criticism for the Keith McGuire to not offer when everybody else was getting in on him.
Yeah,
it's fair to wonder whether Penn State just didn't like him as much, or whether they missed something. That's fair. Joey Porter Jr., Penn State was a little bit late to arrive on him too, and these are players that are in Penn State's backyard. But all in all, I think the class of Pennsylvania prospects in 19, it just isn't great. And I don't think anybody could have predicted Andre White giving that sudden commitment to Texas A&M. It could very well come all the way back around to Penn State again. So maybe withhold judgment there. But it's an interesting situation for sure. And I think part of it is influenced by Penn State's class size. Part of it is influenced by where the talent is in the region in the 2019 cycle. And part is the new recruiting calendar. So a couple of those things are still have to be resolved yet. You know, Penn State is not going to fall short of their commitment goal. They're in on a whole bunch of big time players. And I think maybe as we sit here today, some of them don't look probable, but James Franklin always surprises.
Exactly.
That's the one thing I would say.
Yeah. One quick thing to finish up this conversation. I think that for Penn State, the people need to keep in mind in a general sense that the problem sometimes with offering PA and Mid-Atlantic guys is that sometimes you like a guy, but you maybe have other options on the board, but you know if you offer him, he's going to commit on the spot.
Right.
And maybe you want to wait it out a little bit. And sometimes that's going to cause you to lose guys, or sometimes it's going to cause you to, you know, come to a kid late and he's going to say, well, you didn't like me before, and now I see all of – because these kids know more than anything nowadays with social media, with the internet, you know, three different recruiting sites tracking everything. All the cards are on the table. So sometimes it's going to hurt you. But if you have four guys ahead of that one guy from PA – And you know if you offer him immediately, he's going to commit and take up a spot that maybe one of those four other guys were going to take. You're not going to do it. So keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, I think there's a push-pull in the relationship management on the back end where you have to communicate and be clear with these guys. Looking back to, what was it, 2015? Nick Bowers and Kevin Givens were clear Plan B guys, but they were delighted to get the green light to flip and commit. And they did. So
if you got guys like, of course, it'd say, what's the on-air way to say this? Forget you. You know, we don't, you know, you made me wait all this time.
You had to dig deep to find a way not to swear.
I had to really think about that. You know, you have kids that'll say, you know, you waited all this time to offer me. You kind of recruited me, but you really recruited all these other guys. I don't want your scholarship. I don't want to play for your program. And you thought you could come get me late, and you can't. So there's kids that it's always a two-sided coin with that.
The question is, which is there more of? The kid who is so enamored and delighted by the Penn State offer that he doesn't care how long it took, or the kid who says, how do I put this? Forget you.
Yeah.
I think the kid who's enamored is
there's
higher.
More of those.
There's more of those. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that 100%.
So that's kind of what maybe Penn State's banking on. That's a good question though. Good topic of discussion. Took up the first half of the segment. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We are taking other questions besides Bill from Philadelphia.
Yeah. If he waited for Thursday, he would have gotten the award from
Ron.
He
would have.
So
yeah.
He blew it. He pressed the wrong button.
You had to settle for Greg.
Yeah.
You're the plan B.
That's right.
Yeah. He couldn't get his question answered by Ross, well, so he's like, okay.
I was delighted to answer it.
All right. Chad from Lewisburg, this is another fair question. Can you please explain to me how Michigan is able to take their football team to Italy last year and France this year?
Sure. I mean, there's no NCAA rule against it, and as long as you tie an academic component into it, which they have by visiting some historical sites and things like that. I mean, anybody can do this. The problem is who can get a $100,000 donation from some wealthy donor to do it, right? I mean, that's what Michigan's been doing between that and the Jordan, you know, all the Nike Jordan money that they have. I mean, between those two things, they've been able to finance this. But if you don't have a donor that is willing to foot the bill for this kind of trip, you're more than likely not going to take it. So there's no rule against it as long as you check off all the boxes that you have to check off, and they have. And, you know, will they continue to do it? I don't know. But Penn State fans get all wound up about this topic. And to me, it doesn't mean anything to me. And I think it's more of a distraction than anything else to pack up all your stuff and take your guys overseas. I agree with James Franklin in this aspect that you sort of control what you can control, and you like your comforts of home, and you like everything set up the way, you know, you've paid a lot of money to set your football facilities up for winning tradition. So to move everything out of them for a week to Italy or to Rome. I mean, if I'm a Penn State fan, I'd say, yeah, keep doing that, Harbaugh, because it hasn't worked out so well so far.
So this cuts right to the heart of why Jim Harbaugh is subjected to different types and different levels of criticism than any other coach, because he opts to do this kind of thing. I can say with a fair amount of confidence that if a donor approached James Franklin and said, "Hey, I've got $100,000 for you, you can do whatever you want with it."
He's not going.
He's not taking them to France or Italy. He's putting new video screens in. He's going to improve the way that the facility looks, or it's going to, you know, have some kind of functionality that really gets to taking care of his current players or helping him get future players. I think the belief from Harbaugh is that maybe that $100,000 expense helps him get future players. I think he's for making his program, for lack of better words, a little bit of a spectacle.
Right.
You know, I think he's in favor of that. And because the IMG thing, too. He didn't care. They went and practiced at IMG Academy, which was a clear, you know, everybody knew what Michigan was doing.
Right.
Checking back in with that, I'm not sure I noticed really anything different about Michigan's ability to recruit IMG Academy.
I haven't seen anything. I mean, the problem with IMG Academy is, and as Dustin was saying, that they went down there for purely recruiting reasons. But the problem with IMG is it's not like going to all right, so let's say you go to, let's think of a power program. Let's say you go to DeMatha
Catholic High School.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. DeMatha Catholic in Maryland, and you know they spit out 6 to 8 FBS players a year. So if you went there, you might have a chance to lump 4 of those guys together to your school. IMG, there's no cohesion. I mean, there is in the sense that they play well together and win, but those kids aren't tied to each other like they are at a typical normal high school. So I understood what they were doing, but I'm not sure it had the desired result. And as for James Franklin, you're right. He's going to say, okay, X percentage of this goes toward recruiting, Y percentage of this goes towards the current team, and we're going to take care of whatever's on our list that we can knock out with however much money that a donor gives them. So, yeah, absolutely 100% agree with that.
Another good question.
They're on a roll today. They're on a roll. Yeah.
Okay, so Tony from Edders, maybe you the last part of this question I don't really get, but maybe you get it.
All right.
How many scholarships does Bama have to give? Seems every week they get a new commit. Do they really follow the 85 scholarship rule down there? P.S. Still waiting for that Mansion House reboot.
Tony, I know exactly what
you're
talking about.
Is that a horse racing reference?
No, it's not. No? There was a restaurant in Middletown that Tony used to frequent that burned down called the Mansion House. No, I know exactly what he's talking about. As for Bama and its scholarship situation, I haven't checked in on it recently, but I mean, they're a program that moves guys out to the NFL in bulk. And when you're able to do that, it gives you that much more space to work with. Combined with the fact that, you know, Dustin, when you look at how many guys transfer out of that program, I think it kind of happens quietly because a lot of people, I just don't, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to really make headlines when guys leave Bama, but they leave Bama all the time because they can't get on the field. So,
an inordinate number leave after 2-3 years, right. 3 years,
yeah,
to go to the NFL.
Right. So you put those two numbers together, and that's why they're able to get so many guys in each cycle. Whereas with Penn State, and maybe we'll see more of this in the future, but at least for right now, they're still getting to the point where they're losing guys after 3 years or even 4 years. There's a lot of guys that stay for 5, and that can make it hard to turn your roster over, which can lead to some smaller classes, especially when you're James Franklin and you piled in as many as you could in your first 4 classes to start returning the roster over.
And I think some coaches are more averse than others to the prospect of over-signing.
Yeah.
You know, to signing beyond what the threshold suggests that they can sign to. James Franklin hasn't really been in favor of doing that. Nick Saban, you know, he's the godfather down there. He can do whatever he wants. If he's ready to show you the door,
right,
you better walk out the door. But that's a good question. I'm glad you got the Mansion House reboot part of it, too. All right, we're all done here on this episode of the Keystone Kickoff Show. As always, you can always check out our website, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, to get past podcasts as well, and download the Keystone Sports app. You'll be glad you did. Thanks for joining us. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all you can eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.